Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this ninth Sunday after Pentecost. It's supposed to be steamy again this week, so be careful out there and let me know if you need anything. I have a few announcements for you. First, next week, it's already here, folks. Sunday. After worship, the deacons will be hosting an ice cream sundae, like social, and they're going to have ice cream, all the fix-ins. We just finished the last minute planning parts. I'm telling you, this is going to be kind of amazing. So make sure that you join us next week for some fellowship. Also, don't forget, it's coming up just 2 weeks away, is BJ's 80th birthday party. That's Saturday, August 3rd at 4 p.m. If you plan here at the church, and if you plan on going, please sign up on the RSVP, just so her family knows how much to prepare. Although I have a feeling, no matter what, there's going to be enough left over if you forget. But sign up. We are going to be again participating in the outdoor community worship with Parkwood, Glenshaw, Elfinwild, and Hampton Presbyterian churches. We're going to have an outdoor community worship at Heartwood Acres on Sunday, August 4th. The worship will start at 10 a.m., but there's going to be like a concert, a music worship time starting at 9:30. And if you want to get a good seat, you're going to want to come early. Bring a chair or a blanket, and if last year was any indication, you may also want to bring an umbrella for like shade, because it gets real hot on that lawn. There will also be communion served that day, and there will not be any worship here at Glenshaw Valley on August 4th. So make plans to attend. Also, finally, don't forget to bring your paper, notebooks, crayons, pencils, all that sort of stuff for the Deacon School Supply Drive. I'm going to be taking everything up to North Hills Community Outreach on Tuesday, August 6th at noon. Still have another week or so for that. Am I forgetting anything? I did have a good time off. It was nice. Okay, with that, let us gather together, place our cell phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings, and get ready for worship with our call to worship. Green pastures and still waters are the work of the Good Shepherd. Flocks to belong to and safe pathways are the work of the Good Shepherd. Bountiful tables and anointing oil are the work of the Good Shepherd. We come with songs and praises for the Good Shepherd who has brought us here. Let us worship God. Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
Thank you.
The scriptures teach us that there's no distinction, since all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the scriptures also teach us that we have a high priest who has been tested as we are, yet who is without sin. Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so we may receive the mercy and find grace to help in our time of need, by saying, God of green pastures, we confess that we can get so busy and distracted that we lose sight of your love and care for us. We neglect to be still and know that you are God. We forget to live in gratitude and fail to live lives of goodness and mercy. Forgive us for not accepting your gift and guidance of rest and restoration. Help us walk in the way Jesus models, mindful of our spiritual health and responding with compassion to the needs of our neighbors. Heal us and lead us down gentle paths that restore our souls. Amen. Our Lord Jesus gives us rest and peace. Our Master's touch heals us, and his shed blood is our salvation. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. And you may be seated for our congregational anthem. Let us now lift up our prayers of joy and concern for the whole world, the church, and for one another. Please pray with me. Holy God, three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we praise you for your goodness and your everlasting loving kindness. With the power of your word, you created the world and everything in it and fashioned us in your own image. In your word made flesh, you lived among us, taught us your way, and reconciled us to you. Through your living word, you continue to call us to obedience and service in the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for the claim you put on our lives in baptism and the call to follow you throughout our lives. We pray for the wisdom of your Son's teachings to guide us in our actions. And what we say and do as followers of Jesus, may we always say and do what he has taught and shown us in his own life. God of all creation, we pray for the world in which we live. You offer us a better way, but we continue to live in strife, in violence, with war. We divide ourselves and we look to our own interests. We become discouraged and think that we cannot make a difference. Lord, show us how to live as a witness to your power, promise, love, and grace. God of life, as the crowds carried their sick to Jesus with the hope of them being healed, we still carry our sick to you in our prayers. We pray for all for whom life is a struggle today because of illness, both those who are sick and those who give care. Bless those who are undergoing treatments, recovering from surgeries, facing new diagnoses, and living with chronic conditions. We especially pray for my Aunt Alice, who will be finishing up her first round of chemo and will be having surgery to have her stomach removed in the coming weeks. A friend, Cassie, and her family, who are going through multiple stressful events. And for the family and friends of J.C. Christopher, who was killed last Sunday while on his motorcycle. We especially pray for friends Patty and Chuck Gamrod. May all those that we pray for you, the ones that we've said aloud and the ones that we've left within us, may all know the peace of your life-giving spirit. Good Shepherd, Lord of righteousness, bring us together through the cross of Christ and break down those dividing walls between us. Be our peace, and by your Holy Spirit, renew our citizenship in your kingdom. Gather together all of these prayers, as well as all those that have not been spoken aloud, as we pray the prayer that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of praise, Step by Step. Please be seated. With grateful hearts, let us bring our tithes and offerings that we may supply the needs of the saints, overflow with thanksgiving to God, and share generously what God has so graciously given to us. God of green pastures and still waters, bless these gifts that we have been given, that they may become a part of your banquet for the world. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture today is from Jeremiah 23, 1 through 6, and Psalm 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise my shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall no longer fear or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet water. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God of our ancestors, for generations, you have spoken through the prophets, and now you speak to us through your Son. By the work of your eternal Spirit, reveal to us your living and active word, that we may obey your will, hold fast to our faith, and enter into the sanctuary of your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Amen. so beyond just generally loving being around all of you, one of the things that I really love about my job is that I am constantly learning new things. This week, I learned a new word. Jeremiad. It's a noun, and it's generally defined as a long, mournful lamentation or complaint. It's a list of woes where the author just bitterly laments the state of society, laments the state of the morals of the world. In that tone, it's very critical. And it always includes a prediction of society's imminent downfall because of what's happening in the world. Unless, of course, the warnings are heeded and people make the changes that they're supposed to. As soon as I read that definition, I knew exactly what it was referring to. I don't know about you, but I have been hearing Jeremiah ads from every single direction lately. They've been around practically forever, but it just feels like it's reaching this tipping point. And I guess as we have more technology and we move forward, we have a whole bunch of different ways to access these things. This type of rhetoric reaches us through just a variety of media. And you might have guessed correctly that Jeremiad is referencing the prophet Jeremiah. Sounds quite a bit like the name Jeremiah. And one of the scriptures that we just read came from the book of Jeremiah, so I didn't just bring it up for no reason. And the definition of Jeremiad aptly describes the prophet and the Old Testament book. Jeremiah is the second longest book. I don't know, did I mention that these are long, that Jeremiads are long? Jeremiah is the second longest book in the whole Bible, second only to Psalms. And as a priest, Jeremiah lived and worked and prophesied in Jerusalem during this very pivotal time of political and religious reform. He arrives on the scene about 100 years after Amos. It's around 630 BCE, and there's upheaval all throughout the ancient Near East. Assyria is in decline, in Egypt and Babylon are just warring. To say that it's a time of uncertainty is by an understatement. Jeremiah is given a very tough job, but he doesn't seem to balk at it. His task is to warn Israel about the consequences for breaking the covenant that they have with God. To warn them about what happens when they practice idolatry and injustice. But if we read real carefully, this isn't all doom and gloom. Jeremiah is also there to offer some hope. Overall, however, the book of Jeremiah is just a very long lament, a list of complaints about how society is breaking down, how people have loosened their morals. It's a Jeremiad. And the passage that we read from Jeremiah boils down a summary of judgments that are against the kings. Here's the thing about kings in the ancient Near East. At that time and in that place, people often talked about kings as if they were shepherds. It was like living under a monarchy was hard, right? But along with the king's power came a lot of responsibility to care for the community's needs. They were responsible for maintaining order and justice, for making sure that there's enough nutritious food and clean water and safe housing for all of the subjects. The king was much like the good shepherd that we see in Psalm 23. Unfortunately, Jeremiah points out that those kingly, shepherdly responsibilities have been sort of thrown to the wayside. They've gotten lost in this pursuit of more and more power and wealth, for military endeavors, for political maneuverings, that building of wealth takes priority over promoting justice. And instead of caring for their subjects, the kings are just oppressing them from every single angle. So Jeremiah speaks for the Lord. You shepherds, you, the ones to whom I gave the privilege of shepherding my people, you have scattered my flock. Your misrule has created the circumstance of exile. Don't blame this on the Babylonians. You did this. And the prophecy isn't just about placing blame and chastising subpar shepherds. God does give Jeremiah and us a message of hope. It continues on, and in that continuation there are words of mercy and grace for the people. Because God will gather the scattered flock. God will raise up good shepherds who will lead in peace. The disruption that the people are experiencing, yeah, that is an ending, but it's not the end. And while I was reading through Jeremiah's passage and contemplating it, and I kept coming back to Psalm 23. It's in the lectionary, so it was kind of on my mind anyway, but I had to include it. Because Psalm 23 shows us how God is the ultimate shepherd. The ultimate shepherd who offers care and provision, not just physically, but also emotionally and spiritually. The reference to shepherding, both in the psalm and in Jeremiah, suggests this kind of closeness, like a tenderness. At the same time, though, there's no indication or even an implication that it's going to be easy to be a shepherd or a sheep. Because you know what? It's really hard to be a shepherd without smelling like some sheep. It's hard to be gentle in your guidance, but firm. And it's hard to be led when you've got your own mind and your own will. It's really hard to trust that that shepherd is going to provide for us, because there have been so many other times that we haven't been provided for. Both Jeremiah and the psalmist tell us that being saved by the Lord, our shepherd, it may not mean a life of ease and comfort, but it will ultimately look like the restoration of justice, righteousness, and safety. And in Jeremiah, honestly, it's not just Jeremiah, it's throughout the entire Bible. The whole Old Testament, over and over again, we're shown how important justice is to God. We are shown over and over again the standards of justice are measured by how the weakest people in our society are treated. Those people without power, those who are ridiculed and mocked, those without wealth, those who are sick or disabled, the orphan, the widow, and the alien. And through Jeremiah, God charges any and all leaders or ruling systems that allow the rich and the powerful to exploit the labor and energy of the poor and the weak in order to enhance their own lifestyle. He charges them of injustice. And that indictment still stands today. Thankfully, though, just like in Jeremiah, that indictment isn't God's last word. God also promises to send a king who will gather the scattered, deliver justice, establish peace. But God doesn't work quite the way that we expect it. The king doesn't come, the shepherd doesn't come with armies to defeat our enemies in battle. The king is the good shepherd. The king comes as a servant and gives up his life for us. Instead of armies and weapons, Jesus, the good shepherd, the just king, arrives and exemplifies peace and justice through compassion and service. Just as we are loved and cared for by God, we are also to love and care for everyone we meet, and most especially the vulnerable. And I think that's why I get really frustrated with a lot of the modern day prophets that I hear. The warnings, the laments, the modern day Jeremiads generally seem to focus on like rules of like what people wear, who has sex with who. They zero in on tough medical decisions people that have to make in a crisis, or what books are ruining our children, or who should and shouldn't be in our country. The Jeremiads that I encounter often seem to skip over that whole shepherding with care and justice thing. They seem to forget the ways that we neglect the hungry and the homeless and the hopeless, They don't seem to mention the ways that our society incarcerates more people than anywhere else in the entire world. To be sure, society is broken. And maybe I'm wrong. But when I read the Bible, it seems to me that God is much, much more concerned about how we treat the most vulnerable people in our communities than what list of rules we are following. Jeremiah and Psalm 23, they do offer us good news. Even in amidst a broken world, the final word isn't about how we humans or any one human wields the power, but how God wields the ultimate power. God will do what we have failed to do. God promises to restore everything, all people, everything in creation. And he's going to start with us. While we don't live in a time where this promise is fully realized, we've been given a glimpse into the future. Jesus Christ gives us a glimpse of what that good shepherd looks like. And glimpsing into that future, that is a powerful, powerful gift that we have been given. We know the shepherd is on the way. The shepherd is going to gather us all in through justice and righteousness. So let's keep looking for the good shepherd's arrival. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, My Shepherd Will Supply My Need, verses 1 and 3. Thank you. Before we head back out into the world, let me offer you a charge and a blessing. Now go out, gather all the sheep that have been scattered, and share with them this good news. Do not fear or be dismayed, for God has raised up shepherds to care for you. God grant you peace in your sleeping and waking. Christ fill you with joy in your working and playing, and the Holy Spirit drive you with passion in your love for God. Amen.